Glad it's the Lord's Day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day. And we are coming to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we know that you are in your homes, which this is the place where you're worshiping the Lord. And we're here at Calvary, but we're getting used to this. And hopefully for not too much longer, but through media, we'll worship together. Amen. So we'll just rest that subject right there this morning. And this past week has been a great week. Of course, as far as weather concerned, we've had a lot of great weather. It's been a lot of sunshine and been kind of on the warm side. I guess summer's here, and so it's just great to see that. You know, a lot of the news people and of course some of the media, they're saying that potentially this will kill off some of the virus, and we praying that it is. So we'll take that this morning. Praise the Lord for whatever it does. I know that it's summertime and school's over and the kids are excited about that, and some people are even planning for vacation. And I just want to encourage everybody this morning, be happy in that. Be happy that it's summertime and plan your vacations if you can. You know, rejoice that it's Sunday. Bask in this day. You're alive and you're drawing breath, and God's good this morning. And so we're going to just leave it at that. And again, say welcome and glad you're tuning in this morning. I want to mention just a couple of things in particular. As we say each and every week, we maintain, it seems like, pretty lengthy prayer list in our bulletin, but more specifically, we have a couple requests we want to make mention of. Little baby Eddie, this is Miss Jackie Henderson's great grandson. We mentioned this past week that he's not doing well. I believe he's at least stable right now. I believe he's in the hospital. He definitely stands in need of our prayers, church. Let's please continue to intervene in prayer for him. I believe his situation is a kidney situation, and they're giving him fluids. They're, I believe it's some kind of dialysis situation. They're just trying to medicate him and improve functionality of his kidneys. Baby Eddie, he was a premature baby. He's very, very young, still in his infancy stage. And so, church, let's pray for baby Eddie this morning. Here in just a moment, we'll do that. And also, Brother Ed Sanvey was in the hospital the other day. Miss Mary Ann, she had called me, and we had prayer for him. And she had thought that he was having seizures, so they did some testing for seizures. They did, I believe it's an EEG, and it came back negative. We praise the Lord for that, but she kind of wanted some kind of report that said what he had, if it was seizures or a stroke or something, and the report came back negative for anything. So she praised the Lord, we praise the Lord that it was negative, but she's kind of in the situation where if she had something to grab a hold of, then maybe they could improve on it. You know, if you've ever been in a situation where you had some kind of body pain or something going on, you go to the doctor and they say nothing's wrong or we can't find anything, you kind of get discouraged. But nonetheless, Brother Ed's at home and he's doing some better. We praise the Lord for that. But saying that, I got a call yesterday. Miss Mary Ann had actually fell and fractured her arm. And Miss Mary Ann, not sure if you're watching this morning, but I was joking with her yesterday, and I said, now she's trying to get some attention. And she joked about that, but Miss Mary Ann said that she actually didn't break her arm, but she fractured her arm. Not really sure what the difference is. It sounds like she was on the way to break her arm, but this morning let's pray for Miss Mary Ann. Let's remember the Sanveys. Again, we have a lot of people to pray for. There's also been a lot of praise reports. Again, Miss Charlotte, this is the sister-in-law of Joe Vandiver, was healed of cancer. Miss Cece Prestridge had a good praise report. There was the mass that came back, the readings on that mass, it was negative, it was benign. We praise the Lord for that. And again, as we go down that list, there's all kinds of updates and reports. We can't remember everyone by mind and heart right now, but we just praise the Lord for His goodness and for everything that He's done. Brother Trail this week went on some of his flights and air runs, and he returned safely, and so we praise the Lord for that. I mentioned Wednesday night. We'll pray in just a moment, but Miss Barbara Ann, she went home to be with the Lord, had her services on Monday. Sweet, sweet service. And so let's continue to remember Miss Barbara Anderson as she starts her new life, just her and the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then I asked Brother David if he would sing a special song today. I know many people are in need of just a touch from the Lord today. And I would be amiss if I said that I wasn't in need or wanting a special song. And so I think it'd do us all well just to take a moment and have a special song today as we prepare to preach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for giving us Your only begotten Son. Begotten Son. Only Son. Meaning straight from You. There is no other Son. We're thankful for that. And Lord, we're thankful that we can call upon this Son and become children of that Son by the new birth. And Father, this morning we lift up little Eddie in prayer. We pray that You would touch him, God. He's so young. Lord, he didn't ask to be born into this world. Father, You tell us in Your word, even in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 1, that before You knew Thee, Lord, You formed him. Father, You fashioned him. And God, You did all kinds of things. I pray that You just continually work in his behalf. Do things mightily, Lord. And Father, just be with Miss Kylie during this process as well. Lord, I pray for Brother Ed Sanvey. I pray for Miss Mary Ann, Lord. Seems like they're going through a lot of struggles and up and down and continually. Be with them. Give them strength and grace and health. Lord, I think about Jamie Dickerson, Lauren Hancock's dad, that is going Tuesday to schedule an open heart surgery. Lord, I pray that You'd be with him and strengthen him. What a wonderful family they are and how much we love them. Be with them in a very special and very mighty way, Lord. Keep them safe. Be with Miss Betty Berry. Protect her, Alan, Miss Terry. Lord, be with all of our people, our shut-ins. Be with our Calvary family. Be with Miss Jackie. Be with Brother Jack. Be with Richie, Lord. Be with their precious family. God, lead, guide, and direct them. Be with our church. Be with our state, Lord. Be with Governor Kemp. God, be with our nation. Be with our president. Father, this pandemic has been sitting on us a while, and we have become acclimated to it to a degree. And God, it's getting to be about time to phase back in concerning church. I pray that You'd give me insight. Help me, Lord, not be quick in spirit and rushed. rush things, but also know that we do need to kind of start phasing back in. But help me be wise, Lord. As the Bible says, as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And Father, help us always to be cautious, but help us be moving forward. We love you, Lord, today. We are thankful for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. All right, you listen to this song this morning.
Out on the waters, storms raging high. The waters around them, they were troubled that night. And fear filled their heart, and they thought they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. And He calmed the storms, just like He will mine. If I just remember, He loves me deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, He stays always near? He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how He walked with them, brought light in their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have His steps leading mine, and to talk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come, and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master, He'll be there on time. And when sickness comes, and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, He stays always near? He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? And why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. I call on His name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry?
Yes.
Why should I fear? And I know my Jesus, he's always near. He's in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? For my Jesus, he's always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I call on his name till the storm passes by. I call on his name till the storm passes
the good Lord this morning. And I know when the Lord moves in a service, sometimes I'll wonder if it's because I didn't get no sleep the night before and I'm tired, or if it's indeed the Lord's moving. But no doubt the Lord's sweet presence has been so precious. Church, we have nothing to fear. We're in his hand this morning. Lord is in absolute control. He's rocking me like I'm his big baby. And it feels real good. Thank you. We shall go in the strength of the Lord. The world cannot give us the strength we need, but Jesus can. We need the Lord this morning. We need each other this morning. We need church this morning. By the help of the Lord, we're going to get back in this place. You can rest assured of that. Well, just don't know. I'm just glad my glasses ain't fogging up. If they were, I would invest in some little windshield wipers. If you have your Bibles, make your way to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4 this morning. Matthew chapter number 4. We're going in a teetotal different direction from how we feel right now. Book of Matthew, chapter number 4. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 1. Father, we're thankful for what we have felt. We know that our feelings are not always there. But Lord, we're thankful this morning that you showed up and honored the song choice, God. We knew that we needed to hear something, Lord, this morning. And I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, Lord. Bless the preaching of your word, God. We need a message this morning. Your people need to hear something this morning, God. Somebody needs, God, to hear a warning. Somebody needs to be rescued this morning. God, the devil is after somebody this morning. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would rescue them. Father, I pray that you'll be glorified today in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter number 4, notice in verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want to stop reading there in verse number 11. And I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments on this subject, the temptations of the devil. Many people, many preachers have preached and used the title, the temptations of Jesus, and I have before. But this morning I want to use the title, be a little different, and use the title, the temptations of the devil. I think it makes it a little more personal when we use that title because it kind of confines it to Jesus. And no doubt this morning, Jesus is the example by which is used here when it comes to the temptations. This morning I want to say that the devil is your enemy this morning. Your flesh is his friend. The world is his home. I want to say that again. The devil is my enemy, your enemy. My flesh and your flesh is his friend, and the world is his home. And so we have a problem this morning. We live in the world. Our flesh is not saved, and the devil is living in the world. And as long as we're in the world, and as long as we're living in this tabernacle, we will contend with the devil. We'll never get to a place in this life where he will not be a contender with us. Someone said one time, well, you know, the closer I get to the Lord, the more the devil will leave me alone. That's just not true. The closer you get to Jesus, the harder the battles will be. Because actually, the farther from Jesus you'll get, the more the devil will leave you alone. Because the actuality of it all is, you're not a threat to the devil if you're not walking with God. A lot of people think that, you know, if you serve Jesus, then, well, the devil, he won't mess with you. And the truth is, if you serve Jesus, the devil is always looking for a crack in the door to get to you. And so this morning, what's the truth of this? What did Jesus do? How did he handle it? And church, this morning, he's the example. And he is the one that dealt with the devil here. He is the example in the wilderness. The temptations of Jesus, yes, that's the title given in your Bible. Probably it's mentioned there. I've preached on that title before. But this morning, the temptations of the devil, he will come to you at some point or the other. Sometimes he's laying low. Sometimes he'll leave you alone. But other times he'll surface and he'll cause some kind of problem. And so we have an example in Jesus how to handle the devil when he comes to us with his temptations. And so this morning, when it comes to the temptations of the devil, I just want to mention a few things. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 1, the timing of temptations. The temptations of the devil, when it comes to his temptations, the timing of his temptations is mentioned. And this is not in verse number 1 seclusive here. This is just one mentioning. It's not all secluded here. There's many times the devil can mess with a person. But in verse number 1, we see the timing of temptations. The devil can tempt us to do evil at any time, but here in verse 1, there's something in particular. Notice the very first word in verse 1. Then. He says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I want to make something really clear before I go any further, because someone might stumble over this. Where the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You and I, as children of God, Jesus does not tempt us to do evil. It says so in James chapter number 1, I believe it is. James 1:13. But you see, if you notice in chapter number 3, Jesus was just baptized by John. And he is entering into his ministry. And he is modeling his ministry. and he is showing us and he is portraying to us how to deal with the devil. And so while Jesus does not he does not tempt us to sin, he is yet showing us how to deal with sin. So I want to make it clear that Jesus does not tempt his children to sin, but yet he is empowered by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, entering into his ministry here. He is, the Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He is the Godhead. He is the fulfillment of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He is fulfilling his ministry. He just got baptized by John. Notice again in chapter number 3 in verse number 13. I actually want to emphasize my original point here. The timing of temptations. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Look at verse number 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The timing of temptations. You see, there is a specific timing in life when the devil likes to tempt us. And the timing is, number one, after monumental moments in life. It's after times of victories. It's after those monumental moments. Jesus was just baptized by John. It was a time when he was revealed in his earthly ministry. And now his Father said in verse number 17, chapter 3, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. It was pronounced of the Father's pleasure in the Son. And then in chapter 4, verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Father had great pleasure in the Son. It was a monumental moment. Then came Satan. Fathers, wives, families, protect your homes when monumental moments happen. Because the devil loves it to visit homes when monumental moments happen. Why is that? Because most of the time we are unguarded during those times. Most of the times, even in churches, when we experience a time of great celebration, somebody gets saved or a great revival happens, we are unguarded because we're experiencing a high at that time. There's great excitement taking place. We're not embracing prayer. We're not hanging on to the altars. We're not embracing prayer at that time. We're not hanging on to the altars at that time. We're unguarded because we have a great celebration. You see, great things are happening at the home place. Great things are happening at the church. And you see, during those times, if we're not careful, the enemy likes to slip in unaware. Well, the father said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The timing of this temptation, it was during monumental moments in life. These times happen that follow times of victories. Let us, anytime we experience a victory, stay guarded during those times. Stay guarded during those times. Not long ago, I preached a message, I believe it was on a Wednesday night. It was Moses, and he was leading God's people, and they just passed through the Red Sea. And they were singing salvation song. God has triumphed gloriously and saved the horse and his riders. And then they came to a place of Marah, and they were thirsty and they could not drink. You see how that happened? It was a bitter experience that followed this successful experience. It seems like in the Christian journey that there's this sweet experience and bitter experience. Sweet, bitter, sweet, bitter. And you would think that we would catch on in life that there's bittersweet experiences, just bittersweet, bittersweet, but there's just something about it. We're sheep, and sheep are known as dumb animals. Let us just follow the shepherd. Let us be smart and stay guarded. We have a great successful experience. Have another great successful experience. Stay guarded. Stay guarded. A successful experience. Keep praying. You know, just keep at it. Jesus was baptized. The Father said he was pleased, and then he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it was during this time when he had fasted and prayed after 40 days, the tempter came to him in verse number 3. Notice verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God," well, it was already pronounced. He knew he was the Son of God. But then the devil says, he questions who Jesus was, if, his identity. Many times the tempter will come along to us in our life and bring up the if factor. If you're really a Christian, then you wouldn't have sinned. If you're really a child of God, then you wouldn't have looked at that. If you're really a Christian, if. You see how the devil works. And so number one this morning, we see the timing of temptations. And then the timing of temptations, at least in this story, this account, has to do with monumental moments in life. They surround moments of victory. Notice something else. Not only the temptations of the devil has to do with the timing of temptations, verse 1, but then we see the types of temptations. I seen this last night, and I really haven't seen it before. I thought it was kind of interesting that there are three types of temptations in these verses. And the three types of temptations in these verses deals with the makeup of the human body. Body, soul, and spirit. Notice if you would with me. In verse number 2 through 4 deals with the body physically. He says in verse number 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, we have human bodies. And so Jesus was fasting, and the devil tempted him with bread, these human bodies. And so number one, and I'll get back to this point in just a moment, but pertains to the first part of the human body. And that is the element of body. And he tempted him with bread. But then notice this. In verse number 5 through 7 is the second element of the body, and that is the soul. And we know that the soul is linked to the emotions of man. Look in verse number 5. He says, "Then the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Let me say this in short, because we need to move on in just a moment. I say soul and how this portrays the second element of the human or the makeup of man as soul, because of how the devil tempts him here. He tells him, or he tempts him here, to jump off the pinnacle, and the angels will keep him from dying. This would prove his sonship. This would be a shortcut to bypass all of the pain and agony of going to the cross. All of the suffering, the pain, the agony. It would just be a shortcut, you know, up on the pinnacle. Everybody just saying, "Watch this show, guys." Notice again, verse number 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." A great big show. Here he is on the temple of the pinnacle. Pinnacle of the temple. "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He will give his angels charge concerning thee. And thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." And so the angels will intervene. And what he's saying is, this will be a public show. You will not die. And in respect to that, you will bypass all the pain, all the suffering. And what does that mean? That means there will be no soul hardship. No cross. No suffering. Even David talks about in the Old Testament, in prophetic meaning, talking about the soul anguish of the cross. And this speaks of here about Jesus and of the soul. You see, this second temptation has to do with the soul here. Verse number 2 and 4, that first temptation had to do with the body. The devil tempted him concerning the bread. And this one here in verse 5 through 7, this temptation had to do with the soul. He just tempted the Lord to jump off the pinnacle, bypass all the suffering, all the pain. Speaking of the soul. And then in verse number 8 through 10, this temptation had to do with the spirit. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The third part of the human makeup of man has to do with the spirit. In the very beginning, the spirit aspect was severed. It died because of the sin of Adam. But it was made alive again by the coming of Jesus and his death. And we see here that Jesus was tempted in this area to worship the devil. And so we see body, soul, and spirit. But how does these temptations apply to us? Well, when you look in verse 2 through 4, we see that the devil tempted Jesus here concerning his body when Jesus was fasting. Notice again in verse number 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Jesus had prioritized his life. He had things in priority. He wasn't focusing on the physical. He was focusing on the spiritual, you see. And so as he had things in priority in his life, the devil came to try to clutter his life or get things in disarray. And you see, church, when I said all of those things, I was trying to do a little teaching moment in my preaching, but I said all of those things to say this, that one of the types of temptations when the devil comes to your house in mine is that he likes to get our priorities out of line. You see, Jesus wasn't focused on the physical. The physical thing's important, trust me. I do know that. I like to walk. I'm trying to walk and do more physically. But Jesus is speaking loudly here. He is fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He is walking in his ministry. And while he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, while he was focused on the spiritual. Listen, you can't fast and break through that physical, or at least you can't fast and break through that physical and get into that spiritual without the tempter coming. In other words, Jesus had to break through that physical to enter into that spiritual. But when he did that and to enter into the spiritual, that's when the tempter came. You see, he had priorities in his life, and they were right. Many times in life, we try to reprioritize our life. Maybe this morning, some of us have our lives out of the right. Maybe some of our lives are in disarray. Maybe they're not in the right set of priorities. Maybe we're trying to rearrange our lives this morning. Maybe we need to have them in the right priorities. Maybe we're getting there slowly, but the tempter's coming. Maybe he's at your house this morning. Maybe he's going to be at your job tomorrow morning. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, this is one of the areas. Jesus was pursuing the spiritual. He was fasting, but then the tempter came. Be on the lookout, church. Be on the lookout. That when your priorities are in line, when the spiritual is number one, the tempter will come. But notice the second temptation concerning the soul. In verse number 5 through 7, when we mentioned the soul and that second part of the makeup of the human body. Verse number 5, he said, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." We said that this deals with the soul, this temptation. the devil was tempting him to put on a show and just jump off and allow the angels to scoop him up before he hits the ground. The devil was quoting him scripture from the Old Testament. Oh, Jesus, bypass all the pain of going to the cross and all of those things. It'll just be burdensome to your soul to do that. So many words. Just jump off and put on a show. Prove yourself. Bypass all the pain. You see, this had to do with the soul. And I believe in relation to us, this is a temptation that the devil likes to throw out upon Christians. And he likes to say that serving the Lord is too hard. Too much pain serving him. It's a hard life to live. You got to go to church 3 times a week, and you got to give your money to the church, and you're going to miss out with your money, and your family needs your money. Going to church is hard, and serving Jesus is hard. You're going to be made fun of if you got kids going to school and saying they're Christians and all. Just hard life to live. This is one of the temptations that the devil likes to get and whisper into your ear, is that the Christian life is the hard life. You can never live the Christian life. I want to say this morning that the hard life is the life of sin. That's the hard life. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. You want to know what's hard this morning? It's waking up in jail. It's hard. I've never been to jail, but I know some people that have been to jail. Waking up in your own vomit's hard. Waking up with a DUI is hard. That's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard, my friend. The way of following Jesus is, the Bible says that the cross, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Listen, it's a joy to follow Jesus. We may slip and stumble at times and learn the hard way. But I want to say this morning that the devil may come to you in the late night hour and say, what's the use of going to church? They're a bunch of hypocrites. And may whisper to you and say, there's no use. You just tell him, I'd rather go to heaven with him than to hell with him. That's what you tell him. Because nobody's perfect. And we're all pressing toward the mark of the prize. And we're all failures. We're all trying. We all got tattered wings. We're all trying. We're all taking flying lessons. We're all strugglers. And we're all moving toward the goal line. We see here that the devil wanted him to just jump off. Just jump off. Don't worry about carrying that cross. Don't worry about Calvary. Just jump. Just jump. There may be someone listening this morning who the devil's just saying, just pull the trigger. Just put it into your life. There may be someone this morning struggling with suicide. Just end it all this morning. I want to say this morning, don't you listen to a word of that. Don't you listen to a word. The devil is a liar and the father of it. He is a murderer. God has a plan for you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. The devil is a thief and a deceiver. He was tempting Jesus here. Think about the things that Jesus got accomplished in his ministry from the time of this wilderness experience to the cross. Was it burdensome? Was the cross heavy? Yes, it was. But think about the miracles he performed. From the time of this temptation to Calvary. Think about that. Think about the blind man that couldn't see. Think about the lame man that couldn't walk. Think about the Last Supper. Think about that. What if Jesus would just have jumped? Yeah, he was capable of calling those angels. And yes, that was scripture the devil quoted. What if Jesus would have just jumped? Listen, friend, what if you were just to pull that trigger this morning? What if you were just to take your life this morning? God wants to use you. It's not fair for anybody to take their life. And I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe I'm just an emotional basket case this morning. I am a pastor. But do not do that. Stay in the race. Live to see another day. Love your family. Know that there are souls to touch between now and heaven. Jesus had a ministry between the wilderness and Calvary. There was yet souls to be saved, and the dead had to be raised. There was lame men that needed to walk, the blind, and they needed to see. Stay in the race, friend. Stay in the race. Let me mention something else. The third temptation had to do with the spirit. Notice in verse number 8, he said, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth unto him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We see here again, this pertained into the spirit, dealing with that aspect of worship that was lost in the garden. We know that when Adam sinned, the Lord had said prior to Adam, if you partake of that tree of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you partake of that tree, you will surely die. He didn't drop dead, but something was lost. His intimacy with God was lost. And we know that later on, Jesus came looking for him. He knew where he was at, but Adam, where art thou? He wanted Adam to know what he did. And so, coats of skins were made, and him and Eve were covered in coats of skins. This was a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. An animal, an innocent animal, had to give their life. This was a picture of the righteousness of Jesus. Foreshadowed that. And so now we see that all of this to date had to picture Jesus coming and making right that which was lost. And so this is a renewed spirit. And so it comes to worship. Now he says in verse number 8, again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only will thou serve. This has to do with only worshiping Jesus. Only worshiping Jesus. The devil will tempt us, if we're not careful, to put things in front of us other than him. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. The timing of temptations, the types of temptations, has to do with priorities in life, has to do with provoking in life, has to do with worship, other things in life. But then lastly, we see the truth of temptations. What's the real truth? Well, the truth of the matter is, if you look in verse number 11, we use scripture to combat the devil's temptations. The truth of the matter is, the devil will leave us alone with the truth of scripture. Look at verse number 11. Look at that first word. Then. What was the first word in verse number 1? Then. We start with the then, and we end with the then. How about that? Then and then. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In verse number 4, we see the phrase, it is written. Verse number 7, it is written. Verse number 10, it is written. And so Jesus literally, he did not argue with the devil. He said, it is written. Verse 7 it is written, verse 10 it is written. You see, the devil tried to bring a case. Verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if he tried to argue. How many times has the devil came to you? Now, this was a moment of human weakness for Christ. 40 days, and the devil said, if I go 1 hour without eating, and the devil tries to argue with me, and I argue. Jesus, 40 days, and he said, if. Jesus said, it is written. 1 hour without arguing with me, I try to argue with the devil. I've tried to learn. And nowadays, I'm more so, it is written. You see, but that's when I get in trouble. The devil comes to me, if you were a Christian, if you were a real husband, if you were a real daddy, you wouldn't have handled it that way. If you were a real pastor, you would have handled it better. If you were a real pastor, you would have been more lenient. If you were a better, see what I'm saying? But the Bible says in verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, this was when Jesus was fasting 40 days and nights. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus was prioritizing. Spirituality was number one. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, the truth of temptations is use scripture to combat the devil's temptations. Refute the devil's lies. Whatever it is he's telling you, you have to find a verse to refute it or combat that. The devil tells you you're not forgiven, refute it. Find one that says you are forgiven. The devil tries to tell you you're a failure and always will be. You've got to find a scripture that looks it eye to eye and says, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ. The devil says you can't ever do anything. Says, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. And when you do that, he's done. You've got to settle it. James 4:7 says, and I'm done, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This morning, the message is simply this. The temptations of the devil. He comes, but he has to go. And the way to get him to go is through the word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you. We need you. We praise you. You're a good God. You're a good Father, to say the very least. Don't know why I said some things I said this morning, but I trust that you've used them. And I pray, Lord, that somebody's life was literally, physically saved today. And I pray that somebody's life spiritually will be saved. As we give the invitation, work in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been given virtual invitations, and so if you need to come and pray, you do so as we give it.